This podcast is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, safer, healthier people.
Hello, I'm Karen Hunter. With me today is Dr. Brett Peterson, an EIS officer in the rabies program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We're talking about a paper appearing in the March 2010 issue of CDC's journal Emerging Infectious Diseases. The article, Terrestrial Rabies and Human Post-Exposure Prophylaxis in New York State, examined rabies trends within the state but did not include the city of New York. Welcome, Dr. Peterson.
Thanks, Karen. It's great to be here.
Dr. Peterson, the article describes rabies exposure data collected in New York from 1993 through 2002. Now, in the United States, isn't rabies in humans a very rare disease?
Fortunately, yes. Human rabies has become rare in the United States. We really only see a handful of cases each year, and this is thanks to successful animal control and vaccination programs. However, exposure to the rabies virus is not a rare event, and most of these exposures are from animal bites. So keeping animals healthy helps to protect humans as well. It's also possible to prevent rabies after an exposure occurs by administering rabies vaccine and immunoglobulin. Now, this is called post-exposure prophylaxis, or PEP.
How common is rabies PEP in the United States?
Well, we don't really know. We know that thousands of people receive PEP every year, but we don't have an exact number because human exposures to rabies virus and PEP are not nationally notifiable events. Estimates suggest that up to 40,000 people receive PEP each year, but even this might be an underestimate. The study, for example, notes that over 18,000 people received PEP in the 10 years the study covered. And keep in mind that the study excluded the most populous part of the state, New York City, and it also excluded the people who received PEP due to exposures to bats, which can be quite common.
Now, what else stands out about this article? Did anything in it surprise you?
Well, it does reemphasize a number of things that we know already. One is the importance of vaccinating companion animals against rabies. About two-thirds of the potential exposures in the study were from dogs and cats, and even though most of these animals were not rabid, several hundred of them were. Also, over half of the PEP administered in the study were due to exposures from animals that were never captured for observation or testing, and it's likely that increased efforts to capture these animals would make it possible to rule out rabies and thereby decrease unnecessary PEP. One other interesting aspect of the study was the data showing what percentage of patients actually completed the PEP protocol.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in the study, about 10% of the patients did not receive all five doses in the rabies vaccination series. And the new recommendations from the Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices has actually reduced the number of doses of vaccine from 5 to 4. And we hope this will help make it easier to complete the series. But it's also reassuring that even though not everybody received all five doses, nobody got rabies. These updated recommendations can be found from the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report website at www.cdc.gov/mmwr.
Besides the EID article and the ACIP recommendations, where else can listeners find more information on rabies?
Well, CDC's rabies website is a great resource and has information about the disease for both the general public and healthcare professionals. The website is www.cdc.gov/rabies.
Thanks, Dr. Peterson. I've been talking with CDC's Dr. Brett Peterson about a paper that appears in the March 2010 issue of CDC's journal Emerging Infectious Diseases. You can see the entire article online at www.cdc.gov/EID. If you'd like to comment on this podcast, send an email to eideditor@cdc.gov. That's eideditor, one word, at cdc.gov. I'm Karen Hunter for Emerging Infectious Diseases.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.